Hey, and welcome to Artists Alive. It's Gustav, or 17, or Sev. Yes, hi. I need to be better at these intros. I'm always so very awkward, but hi. Welcome or welcome back. This is Artists Alive, and I interview people in the entertainment industry on their careers, and hopefully that will inspire you to do your thing. Today, I have an idol from childhood that I'm interviewing, Angelique Bates, and I was thinking she could just introduce herself to you guys. But before we do that, I just wanted to say I'm in Stockholm, Sweden right now. It's 6 p.m. and it's dark outside. There's a blizzard, so I did my best to come here today to do the interview because everything was just not working in my favor. There was so much traffic, and I don't have a driver's license, so I just did public transport, and everything just shut down. It was just a mess. But now I'm here. I'm finally here. I got my Starbucks coffee here, so it's all great. It's actually not. It's a refresher, but still. Hi, Angelique. Hi.
Hey.
I need to cut that down a bit because that was just a little cringy. But hi, how are you?
I'm great. I'm glad that you made it. You know, it's just, everything works out for the best.
Yes. So I feel like there is a lot of people who know who you are, but there will also be some who aren't too familiar with you. Can't you tell them a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do?
Okay. Well, like you said, my name is Angelique Bates. A lot of people would probably remember me from the number one children's show that was on Nickelodeon called All That. I was Mandy of the Randy and Mandy duel with Kenan Thompson, and I was Beth, the duel with Kel Mitchell of Good Burger. So season one and two, and I was from the pilot.
Yes. And where are you based right now for listeners?
I am in Georgia.
Cool. So this episode, I thought my listeners could get to know you a little bit about your past and what you're doing now. And I always ask my guests social media questions because I am very like tech interested and, you know, social online and things like that. So this is going to be a fun episode. But I think the most obvious question to ask you is, since you're a former child actress turned actress, you know, so for everyone there in the industry, there is a start. Where did you start out in the business?
Apparently when I came out the womb. that was where my start was. I didn't have much say-so in it. My mom put me in when I was like 9 months old. I did a Borax printing ad. Oh. So that was my first modeling gig. And I was already working with a legend. It's Tony Lando. And for those that don't know, just, you know, Google him. And, you know, like I said, I came out the womb and was already working with legends. I've been surrounded by legends and icons like all of my life.
And then there was a leap. And then between there, you did a bunch of things as well. And then you landed the gig for All That. You were an original cast member. If you could tell me a little bit about, because you've done a bunch of things. I saw a sketch that you did for The Laugh Factory in California when you were a kid. And then after that, around that time, you were on All That. Can't you tell them a little bit about what that was and how you landed the job for that?
Okay. So like you said, there was like a gap. So when I, you know, when I got the modeling gig, which was the printing print job, I did an AT&T commercial. I did a couple of commercials. I did a movie right before All That. I did a lot of theater. Like, that's my love right there, theater. So I did theater. There was actually one troupe that I was with that was at Paramount Studios faithfully every year. I was there. We were, you know, every season, even when it came around Christmas time, we would be on the Paramount Studio lot, caroling and everything. So it was pretty awesome. So that always kept me kind of fresh. So like you said, I also was at the Laugh Factory. I did the Laugh Factory boot camp, which was it was Damon Wayans' boot camp, and Dave Chappelle and Jay Moore were my mentors. So add all of that on with the theater, my mother put me in a lot of talent shows. So there was a talent show that was happening around then. Like I said, I did a lot of theater. So with theater, those that don't know about the boot camps and the conservatories, they train you in vocal, dance, and theater. So that kind of kept me, you know, always sharp and prepared. So when we did the talent show, my agent, no, it wasn't my agent. It was actually the producer of Unsolved Mysteries. He saw me, but he didn't represent children. So he had his close friend, who's now since passed away, come see me at one of the other, because I made it to the next level. So he had had him come to the last contest, and he loved me, wanted to bring me on board, and all that at the time was auditioning, and that was like one of the first auditions that he actually got me on out the gate. So that's how I was quote-unquote discovered. I was really technically discovered by Richard DeLancey, who was the creator of Soft Mystery.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, those things, have you heard of the butterfly effect, that when you change something in time, it can be that a butterfly doesn't fly a specific route that day, everything can change for mm-hmm. the future. So what would have happened, you know, if you weren't there at the right time, you know?
To add to what you just said, one part that I left off was I was already with another agency.
Okay.
So that agency got that call, but they sent out one of my other associates, and they never sent me out. So if it hadn't been for that agent being there, I never would have been on All That.
I had a sense. I had a sense that I was gonna say that, you know. I was thinking, since you were on All That, that it's maybe best if you just tell my listeners what the show, that show was. If you can just briefly explain what All That was.
Okay. All That was pretty much a children's version of In Living Color and Saturday Night Live. But we were the children's version. A lot of people sometimes get it twisted and they're thinking the Mickey Mouse Club or, oh my God, Roundhouse. I was about to forget the name of the show. And we weren't that at all. We were like literally, like I said, the children's version of it. More In Living Color, to be quite honest. And like I said, we were the number one show. So, you know, we did sketch comedies, we did a lot of improv. The characters were, the majority of the characters were characters that we created. And the writers kind of added their twist to it. But it was definitely fun. And we did it in Orlando, Florida.
It was a very specific and a very special sort of location for filming. Because it was filmed at the then, not, I wouldn't say newly built, but it had been there for a few years then, Nickelodeon Studios. It was basically this mix of an amusement park that belonged to, you know, Universal Studios, but there was mm-hmm. also, you know, this location with sets. I've heard there is this documentary that a creator on YouTube did. I can link it in the description if you guys want to know about it, because it's kind of cool. But there was this extreme like competition between Disneyland or something like that, because mm-hmm. they also wanted to do at the same time, you know, recording television stuff for ABC and things like that. And they had a sound issue where a lot of the attractions were so loud they literally couldn't film anything. So Universal Studios, they thought about it. And for the opening days or something, since things had already begun filming a year prior to the opening of Nickelodeon Studios, they had everyone be extremely quiet. It was like a ghost town. Based on like what I've seen, there are videos on YouTube on that from 1990 where people like walking through the Universal Studios, and it's dead quiet, it's really uh-huh. just chilling. But from your perspective, since you were a child, because a lot of people go to, you know, amusement parks with their families to, you know, go on rides and everything, but you were on All That recording, you were filming on set. What was the contrast between that? Did you get to experience Orlando, Florida, Universal Studios like everybody else, or was it just strictly filming?
Well, first of all, I had never been to Orlando or Florida at all until the show, so that was already different for me. Outside of filming on set, really didn't go anywhere. Well, I didn't. I can't speak for the rest of the cast members. So I was kind of just like in that area for the most part, you know, and then where we stayed. The way they had it set up, so you had the Nickelodeon studio, but it was still sound stages that were around. And a lot of people may vaguely remember Sequest. And I was very close with Jonathan, rest in peace. And it would be so awesome. Like, we would come out of our soundstage and we would see Jonathan, or, you know, sometimes Tatiana would be, because they dated at the time, Tatiana might be like walking by, like, hey, you know. So you would see certain people, maybe Gullah Gullah Island was, you know, taping around the same time, or would end up coming, you know, in the middle of our taping. So you would see what you probably considered family. And then on our breaks, you know, or if we weren't, you know, if we weren't filming at all, like I say, we were off for like a week or so for those that didn't go back home, then we would just like end up just going over. But it was like, it was weird. It was like our backyard. So the whole having to go get tickets and stuff, it was like, it was nothing. It was just like, you walked right out of our soundstage and walked right into Universal. Mm-hmm. We would go and eat. That was like where we would have our lunch. And if we decided, if we had enough time, you know, we might get on the rides. You know, if it was a seasonal thing, you know, like around Halloween or something, then it was just like, you know, I think maybe we probably got, you know, season passes or whatever, but it wasn't anything. Like, they gave us, you know, mm-hmm. so we could go at a different time. But it was just, I think a lot of us didn't realize what we had. It was just like, oh, Universal Studios, oh, let's go mm-hmm. here, oh, let's go there, because I had never been.
No.
I think at that time I had never, I might have been to Disneyland. I don't know, because I was really young. It's very possible I had been at least to Disneyland already, because I think that Captain EO, yeah, I had already gone to Disneyland. But as far as the amusement park, that was like something completely different. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It was good memories with that, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's where we ended up filming the intro, which we had no idea how iconic that would be, and then that area that we filmed it at.
I wish I had the budget to contact like Sony that owns most Nickelodeon movies, so I could like license it, because that would be so cool to play. It wasn't just all that and Gullah Gullah Island that we're filming. There were a bunch of different game shows and, you know, other like sitcoms, right, and things like that filming as well. How did that work? Do you know, like, with a bunch of like shows filming around the same time? Because there weren't that many sound stages, were there? Like, a bunch of places to be. Were some shows like borrowing sets, like set places from each other? Like, how did that work?
Well, in our section, we only shared with Gullah Gullah Island, if Gullah Gullah Island was there. Like, let's just say we started, this is just an example, let's just say we started January 12th. That didn't mean Gullah Gullah was there. Gullah Gullah may come in February or March, but we were already there for months. So while we were probably getting ready to wrap up, that's when they would be brought in. Because then, like you said, you have to keep in mind, so they had enough sound stages. What they probably didn't really have enough of would have been dressing rooms.
Okay.
Yeah. Dressing rooms, and then you have to think about the trailers for school, the school trailers. So, you know, that's a lot of bills going on right there. So, yeah, the majority of the time, Gullah Gullah Island either was coming in while we were getting ready to wrap up, or we ended up coming in when they were wrapping up. As far as the other sound stages, they didn't really affect us, because whatever was happening with Sequest had their sound stage. Like you said, the game shows, they had their sound stage. So I don't know what other shows, you know, they were in contract with, but, you know, for the most, I mean, they made it work.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of bloopers, a lot of things going wrong while filming. Do you have like any like memories of things going wrong and all that there had to be like a bunch of retakes because of it? Did someone spill something accidentally? Like, do you remember any such occurrence?
There were so many, interesting things that happened on the set. I was trying to think about it. Okay, so there was a situation where I forget what scene it was, but it had to do with milk being spit out. And, you know, no one was really supposed to spit milk in anyone's face or anything. And we were, like, all supposed to kind of, like, spit the milk out in opposite directions, preferably towards the ground. And and being that was such a messy scene, you had to, like, get it correct. And I think for that particular one, none of us had doubles with our wardrobe. So when it came down to the final take, certain people decided to improv certain things, and certain people ended up getting milk spit in places where it wasn't supposed to be spit. And that was a very interesting episode. I don't even remember which take they ended up showing. I think that probably ended up being the take, because I don't even think they managed to even have like more than one take, because like I said, certain people decided to improv and go everywhere else, so certain outfits were messed up, hair, all kinds of things. So I know that was like, they weren't, the production wasn't too happy about that, and neither was wardrobe nor was hair. I mean, obviously, and I mean, I was one of those people that kind of got caught up in the improv, so I wasn't too happy. There was that situation, and then there was a but hey, I guess it made great TV, right?
Yeah, right.
There was one, Randy and Mandy, where people might remember it was the chocolate head.
Oh, I love, I love that sketch, I remember it.
Yeah, so the majority of that was not chocolate. The only thing that was the ear. So I think that same episode might have been the one with the chocolate M and the R whatever. And so everything was foam. And it was like, we had to get it together because I'm biting the stuff. So it was just like, oh my gosh, it's like, you only had so many bites that you could do, or there weren't going to be any more takes. Like I remember on the M that was in that same scene. I think it was the same scene. Because the M was not all chocolate. It was literally the corner, like the itty bitty corner that I was biting. I bit too much and ended up getting the foam. So if you go back and you look at the episode, you will actually see that, you'll see that there's like a little bit of foam where I bit too much. And I think even on the chocolate head, it was like we had did the takes so many times, but we did only, I think, had so many noses or ears on the thing that it was like you can kind of see it started looking a little less fresher and fresher throughout the
Right. I mean, with the scenes, because I remember all that, there were, it was so messy and sticky with a bunch of, like, people throwing things at each other. And also Nickelodeon's famed for, you know, it's slime, sliming people. I thought about this yesterday. I would not want to be a janitor for Nickelodeon. I feel like that would not really be anything I'd want.
I want to say that probably the worst job, I'm just guessing, I would think would have to be like the person that has to deal with props and continuity, because it's like if it's completely messy and you have stuff all over the place, like you have to do continuity and make sure certain things are are matching up with like the previous scene.
Yeah.
And then you have to hope that you have enough of the same prop. If you don't, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, definitely. A tip for you guys, do not get such jobs. There are other jobs if you want to break into the industry. Do you have a favorite scene, a favorite sketch from all that? Is it, you know, cooking with Randy and Mandy, or is it something else? Because I can think of a few.
I know. It was a few that I did. I mean, it would be a mixture between Randy and Mandy and Super Dude when I was Penny Lane.
Yeah.
Because those were always fun. Those were also messy. I probably would lean more towards Randy and Mandy because, you know, at that age, you know, it's just like you get to make this big mess and you're not getting yelled at, you know?
Yes. Heaven on earth. on a set.
Yeah.
I remember being so shocked when I was in elementary school. I was talking to my classmate, Clara. Clara, if you're listening to this, hi. She was talking to, we were talking about like the kinds of like snacks and stuff we liked. And I mentioned that I loved chocolate. And she was like, I'm not a fan of chocolate. We were like seven. And I was like, excuse me. But then being an adult now, there are other things that I prefer instead of chocolate, I can say. Because it's good, but like you can definitely have too much of it, you know?
Oh my gosh, yes. I was so over chocolate by the time I was done with the show. And it's so funny. Like, I just said this the other day. Like, my daughter, oh my God, she loves chocolate. Like, and that, I think that's even an understatement. Like, I look at her, like, her and her brother. Her brother's like, I'm cool. I'll take vanilla. And I'm kind of like, I'll take some sherbet or something. Like, right. I'm so over chocolate. But she loves chocolate. And she's definitely like my mini-me. So it kind of reminds me of the Randy and Mandy a little bit. I'm like, that's how I used to be.
Just wait till you grow up. You're going to be sick of it.
Right? She will kill some chocolate, boy.
Right. There were a bunch of music guests who were, you know, guesting every episode, you know, who were closing the episodes with, you know, a song or something. Did you get to meet some of the music artists? Or were you like, were there like any rules you were told, like, do not talk to the stars or something like that? Because certain sets can be like that.
Well, yes, we did get to meet pretty much every artist that you ever saw on the show. We got to meet all of them. There was a rule they did try to put in place, but it wasn't followed. my mom kind of had something to do with that. They didn't want us to interact with them once they got off the stage. And my mom was like, whatever. So she always, by the time I got off stage, she had the All That sign, which would be on the, by the dressing room, that had the celebrity's name on it. And she would already have talked to like their representative or whatever, or parent. And she would be like, you know, when she, you know, gets done filming, can she get a picture with you guys? And could this be signed? So she would have the All That signs already signed. And then she would already have them ready to for we take a picture. So once all the other cast members noticed that, they would be like, oh, can I? Yeah. They were all trying to follow. But so the reason why first season and second season, the reason and pilot, the reason why everybody like has some kind of pictures now is was because of my mom. She was like, she was like, we're on the show and he's, you know, no, you're going to get a picture. So I will say she was really about that. Like, and because of her, I have all of the autographed, all that signs. I have Aaliyah, TLC, all of them, and I have pictures.
That's great. I was last week when we were recording this, it was Valentine's Day. Which is my name day because my middle name is Valentine. That's cool. Okay. But so me and my friend Kat, shout out to you, Kat, if you're listening. We had a Valentine's Day. So it was just us. We were going to the movies. We saw Death on the Nile, recommended. But we went to this store where you could buy snacks. To sneak in. You know, we also bought popcorn when we were at the movie theater as well. But they have something called, oh my God, what is it called? Funko Pop. Is that what it's called? It's like figures.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there are like figures of celebrities or of movie characters and things like that. And I saw that they had the TLC girls as Funko Pops, and they only had one left, and it was Left Eye. So I was like, I was running towards it. I was like, I need it.
So you got it. I was just saying, yeah, they're kind of sold out over here. That's why I'm like, oh my gosh, you got it. Yeah, I've been trying to. I think they had Aaliyah one. I think the Aaliyah one sold out.
Right. They had a Selena as well. Selena Quintanilla.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those sold out in the United States. Yeah, they're not right. playing.
But yeah, about Aaliyah, I'm such a big fan of Aaliyah. Her music is amazing, and you shared on Instagram for the fortunate 20th passing of her, but you shared a photo of you and Aaliyah together, which I thought was really cool. It was, you know, from her like starting days where she has, you know, the sunglasses and, you know, the baggy clothes and everything. Like typically 90s street.
That was pretty awesome. That was eight, ain't nothing but a number error.
Right. What was it like meeting her?
She was real cool. She was real chill. I mean, she kind of stayed to herself, you know, like, but like she would interact with us, but it was just like, she was like one of us. Mm. Because if you think about it, she was at all in actuality, she really was like around the same age as us. Mm. Like, yeah, we didn't realize how close we were in age, but yeah, she was real chill. Like, yeah.
What do you remember? What if you talked, like what you said to each other?
It's probably one thing I did ask, is probably something I can't say on this show, but okay. I do remember it was a question that I did ask because everybody wanted to kind of know around that time.
Okay,
I remember she kind of just kind of like looked. I mean, but it wasn't like a nasty look or nothing. It was just like, you know how kids look and be like, it's kind of like read between the blind kind of thing, like. Mm. Like, you know, maybe so, maybe no.
Right.
And it was one of those things. But I was so, it was so, kids say the darndest things.
Right.
They always say. I was like, now that, you know, with everything that has transpired in the world, I think back to that, I'm like, oh crap. Like, I really asked her that.
Yeah.
Not knowing what I was asking. But. Yeah. She kind of was just like, maybe so. It was like one of those maybe so, maybe no looks, you know? And that I will say. But it's crazy. Like, we actually talked about other things, but for some reason, I think that just sticks out to me because of just how things have transpired in the world.
Right.
And I'm just like, holy crap.
And, you know, no one knew. There was something that was pushed to the back.
Right.
Just.
Right. That was wild. But other than that, like she was still cool though, because I think it was very clear that I was being real innocent. I think I was like just really, because I was like 12.
I mean, you were 12.
Yeah.
Not naming any names, but would there ever be encounters where a music artist was rude or in a way had diva demands or was unpleasant to work with?
Oh, yes. I'm definitely not going to mention any names, but yeah, this person was really rude. Like, to this day, I'm kind of just like, like, I don't interact. I'm not interested in anything they do. Because... like I said, everybody's entitled to feel any kind of way that they want to. But I feel like because we were all children, there's just a way that you're supposed to interact with people. And I feel like, you know, that when you're treating children a certain way, like, I mean, this person was, you know, cool with some of the other, you know, cast members, but I wasn't one of those. And it was just like, it was just so nasty. And I'm like, that's crazy to like, first of all, you're on our show.
Right. Like, that is y'all's zone.
Yeah, and then we're kids. And you're just like, you acting like I'm a grown woman.
Right.
Like, I did something to you. So that's always stuck with me. Like, I'm just like, okay, you know, God bless.
Right.
But yeah, out of those two seasons and pilot, there's only one person that sticks out. So that should just tell you, like, the majority, 99% of everybody, I for the most part had a great experience with.
That's great. Because it's more common than one could think, you know? Especially, but now you said you weren't really paying attention to what this person was doing, but it would suck, you know, to be a fan of someone and you've seen them in the media and they're like, have really cool personalities, and then they're nothing like that in real life, and they're extremely cold and just...
Right.
I mean, there have been horror stories of like A-list celebrities just having crazy demands, like people getting fired for looking at a certain celebrity or, you know. It's like, it's why? And I get it, because everyone, as you said, is entitled to feel that way. But at the same time, that just isn't cool.
Yeah, just because, I just told somebody this the other day, I said, just because it's okay to do something, it doesn't mean that you should do it. Or it's not even okay. Just because there's the option to do it, it doesn't mean that you should do it.
No.
And, you know, especially when it comes to minors, like if I was an adult, then I would have been like, you know, chuck up the deuces and been good. But right. I'm like, we were minors.
Yeah.
And actually, it was more of a cultural thing that the person was doing. So they were favoriting certain cast members. And so people really have to be careful when it comes to children, because that could have, like, mind you, you know, not getting into anything, and I'm not going to address anything, but being that, because you don't know what anybody is going through, being that I was already going through things, and then you have this person that's like, oh, you know, you kind of, I didn't look up to this person at all, but I knew who they were, and I liked what they did, you know?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you see that they're acting a certain way, you're kind of like, okay, well, what did I do? And then you see it's a racial thing on top of it.
Yeah.
And they're the same race as you.
Okay, yeah.
So that's even crazier, you know? But it's like, and I say that, and I had to say that, because then I have the supporters there, like, thank you for being representation for us. So back then, representation was a very important thing. So imagine how, you know, my supporters are like, thank you for representing for us. So if I see somebody that's representation of me on the show, I'm gonna be more attracted, not even more attracted to you, but I'm, you know, lean more towards you. And then if you're rejecting over color, it's kind of gonna do a mind, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, thing. I wanted to say a word, but I was like, I can't say it.
Yeah.
So
leaving all that, are we done with all that? Have we more things to say, or do we feel done?
I think that was it for that question. I mean, if you have more questions, go ahead. I think you were asking me about the favorite episodes.
Right. But then you know, did a bunch of cameo appearances in a bunch of, like, there was, like, medical dramas, and there were movies and everything. And going onward, like, for the new millennia, you know, with social media being a thing, you know, there was something called, I was studying social media for a class in high school, actually. I studied audio production, so to make podcasts and everything. So we had to learn about social media and how social media marketing was through time. And before MySpace, there was something called Friendster, which kicked people off all the time if they were the slightest bit profound, whatever. So they delete your account, but they didn't ban you. So you had to create more and more and more accounts. But then MySpace came along, and they were like, we wouldn't really kick people out just because they're a little vulgar. And so that overtook it. And then, you know, Facebook and Twitter, which everybody uses today, I feel like there are other, like, Instagram is what people... Instagram's overthrown it, and TikTok and things like that. But for that time, like the late 2000s, you know, MySpace was fading out. There were Twitter and Facebook. You got on pretty early on those platforms, didn't you?
Yeah, I laughed because it's so funny when you said they were getting kicked off for the profanity. And I had to really think about, like, I remember when we were on the show, it was like, you could barely say snot. Now everybody is just like, mouth is like a sailor right now.
Right.
Wow, the days of filters. yeah, I was on, it's so funny, I really was on the majority of those, like, fairly early. And actually, my sister got me on Twitter. I was like, first of all, believe it or not, I'm so anti-social media. Like,
Age,
like, I'm over it. I don't want any parts to do with it, but I have to be on it because, like, that's how you brand yourself. And you know, I don't want to sit here and pay a branding team to, like, post on my page of what they think my brand is. So, I tend to be on some of my social medias, but I'm very, I'm not happy about it. Like, they tried to get me to sign up with a, because now there's Clubhouse.
Right.
I tried to do the Clubhouse thing. First of all that stuff takes a lot of space up on your phone. Let's right. be clear about that. Mm. I am a mother, so I have a lot of pictures and videos that
right.
that take up. So between the Clubhouse, I'm like, oh, you got to be on Clubhouse. Oh, you got to be on Twitter. Oh, you got to be on Instagram. It was my sister's idea. And she got me on there, like, immediately. Because I was more of a, like, I don't know if you remember, like, the Black Planet. Because then they had Asian Avenue and all that other stuff. And then there was, like you said, there was the MySpace. Then Facebook had it where it was only college-based. But then they ended up opening it up to everybody. Then it was, like, family-related. So then we kind of, like, Facebook was my favorite. Because it was so, like, personable. And there's more interaction on it. Then Twitter came and was like, eh, whatever. But then she was like, you gotta get on Instagram. So then I was on Instagram and I'm like, oh my God, but I gotta think of things to post. I did not take it serious, probably as serious as I maybe should have. Like, there's people who rocked out, like Samaya. She rocked out with MySpace. She's like the only one I can really think. Oh, I mean, there was her, and then there was, oh my God, I'm forgetting her name. But there was like a couple other people who made it work for them. And while I'm watching them, like, oh, they're doing a good job. There was the Vine days. Can't forget Vine.
Yeah.
Right. I used to look at that and be like, oh, that's cool. Hated it. But I was just like, I'm like, you know, King Batch, like, he made Vine work for him. So I guess I just never had the motivation for it. Like, I'm one of those people, I've always been like this, and I don't know, it could be a blessing and a curse all at the same time. If something doesn't motivate me, I won't do it.
Right.
So, and it's hard for me to do it. So it might be something I really need to do, but if I'm not motivated or if I don't have passion about it, I won't do it. And I wasn't motivated or passionate about any of those social medias. Like, right. I'm still not passionate about, like, you might catch me on TikTok a little bit more only because of the audio, but then I'm not probably using TikTok to my quote advantage, like some would say, because you have people that are on there making audios. You have people that are on there doing sketches. I might take someone's audio and like do something with it, but that's about as far as it goes. And you know, those tend to go viral and I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then I disappear. Cause I'm just, you know, I'm from an era where I'm an old school era. It's just like, you know, it's, we get our bookings from talent. And it was, and nothing against, I'm not, first of all, let me put this out, I am not saying anything against influencers, I'm not saying they're not talented, but our process was different. So, you know, there, now is how many followers do you have? They don't care how many, you know, credits you have or what kind of school you went to. It's like, how many followers do you have? What is your profile? Like, some castings, they want you to submit your profile. That's what they care about. They don't even care about if you can act or sing or dance.
Yeah, I've definitely experienced that as well. And I think it's a little sad, but what you said about social media, I'm the exact opposite of what you are, because I can do all other social medias but TikTok, which is a shame because I built up quite a following on there with a few thousand and I went viral there a bunch of times back in 2020, but I just don't understand that app. It scares me a little bit because it's it's so hateful on there. I don't know. A bunch of people say like, oh, Twitter is hateful, but I didn't really, but I haven't really encountered Twitter being hateful. But TikTok, there are so many kids, since it's like a bunch of younger people on there, kids can be so hateful, you know?
They are.
So yeah, I've been staying away from TikTok for a little bit, but I should come back, but you know, the kids are there. No, I'm just kidding. It's not
that
bad.
I am the queen of blocking and I am the queen of restrictions. I will restrict the heck out of my pages. Like, because you actually follow me and we interact, you don't get this notification. But if we've never interacted or anything, you cannot comment on my posts. If we've never interacted, you cannot send me a message. I literally lock out everything, because I was having moments, and then I was one of those people that I might respond. Like my respond game is hilarious, but that's still giving energy to certain things. So I got to a point, I was like, you know what? I'm not even gonna waste my time. And I just like, my pages, I try to make my pages a safe place for everybody. All of them, as much as possible. Like, you're not about to spam me. You're not about to, you know, say anything negative, because then what ends up happening, you end up saying something negative, then one of my followers that really loves me ends up going off on you. So now we have a thread of people that are going back and forth.
Yeah. That's not what the internet should be about.
Yeah. That's happened before. Oh, no. So, you know, I try to just restrict and keep my...
Hello? Are you there? Did something happen? Are you there?
Is it working?
Yeah, it's working. I hate when these things happen.
Oh, don't worry. I was like, okay, maybe if I wait. And it was like, you're the only one in the room. I was like,
I just panic DM'd you on Instagram. I was like, oh, the internet died, because I thought... I don't know what I thought, because I thought you disappeared, because I could see myself.
It showed you disappearing, but I saw your image and I was like, okay, so I'm still on. I was like, and I did not want to go to Instagram because I didn't want it to close out.
Right.
Yeah. But okay, what is this? Since it wants to trip out, what was the next question?
Right. I mean, when you were on Twitter in 2009, your sister made you sign up, did you think that, you know, social media would be a way of branding yourself online, like that would be a part of your career?
Absolutely not. She was the one, and shout out to Blaze. She's the one that was like all about the branding. Well, I mean, I was, you know, like I said, I'm more old school. So, you know, she was the one that was on all the social media apps and the party lines and all that other stuff. She was like, no, you need to get on it, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, whatever. Another social media site to be on. I'm already trying to get rid of the other one. So, you know.
Yeah.
She was definitely on it quicker than I was. And, like, you know, even though I was on it when she finally did get me on it, I still didn't take advantage of it like I probably should have. I mean, even with the conversation we're having right now, like, I know for a fact I'm probably not taking advantage of it the way that I should be, you know, now Instagram. But, you know, I do post, I try to post more relevant stuff, and it's more, my Instagram page is more probably brandish than it's ever been. Because before, like, you know, my page is cleaned up now, but it was a personal page to me. Mm. You know, it was personal. So there was personal things. However I was feeling, whether it should probably be on social media or not, it was on there. Mm. You know, I might be showing a random picture or something that probably had nothing to do with anything. Like, I was probably Facebooking my Instagram instead of actually using my Instagram for what it should be. There's a difference with Facebook, your personal Facebook, where you're just posting any and every picture, your quotes and all this other stuff. And then Instagram is definitely a branding site. Like, I probably didn't start really branding with Instagram until probably 5 years ago.
And do you feel like an Instagram pro now? Or do you think you still could improve things?
Oh, I could definitely improve. There's other people that are doing way more. Sometimes I think too much. I'm like, that's a lot. I'm not about to do that. Like,
right.
Like, there's times I deactivate my page. And then they're like, oh my God, you deactivated your page. Like, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, and I'm tired of that. But they're like, you can't deactivate it. That's your business page. And I'm like, you know.
Right. I didn't know until, like, 2 years ago that you could deactivate your Instagram, because it apparently has been a thing for a while. So there was an artist colleague of mine who had quite the following, and she deactivated it, and I was like, what are you doing? Right? Because I didn't know she deactivated it. I thought she deleted it, like, straight up permanently deleted it. I was like, what are you doing? And then she was like, just chill, take a chill pill. I just deactivated it for a week. I was like, you can do that. And she was like, yeah.
Right. You know, and it's so funny. You guys notice, like, every time I would deactivate, like, one of you guys would, like, go and find me on Twitter or go and find me on Facebook or something. Like, are you okay? You know, we're okay. It was so funny. There was a whole article.
No.
It was a whole article and they were on Twitter, and it was like they were already talking about something else. But then it became this whole conspiracy of why I deactivated my page, and I was just like, oh my God.
Oh my God. Like, because people always believe something's happened, like something bad must have happened for a person to just deactivate. It's not never like, it never comes to mind that, oh, maybe the person just didn't want to be on Instagram or not.
Yeah, they created a whole story, and it was like tied into the whole conspiracy thing and all this other stuff. I was just like, wow. And I was like, and log off.
Yeah. A whole debacle over nothing. It's just, you know, that's what today is. People don't really have, and I was gonna say something a little bit nasty here, like, which I kind of did not really sometimes I just say things that I just don't mean. I'm like, why did I say that? I was gonna say, like, people have nothing better to do, but then again, then I just realized maybe I don't either, so maybe I can't really talk.
But I mean, you use your energy probably for more productive things,
right?
You know, we all have the same 24 hours. And others just tend to use their 24 hours a little bit more negative. So,
and not everyone can be happy all the time. You know, you probably had a bunch of bad days. I've had a bunch of bad days.
Or the majority of the time. I mean, honestly, I do want a social media manager. I'm probably going to end up, I mean, I know I'm going to end up with one, but I've kind of just like postponed it a little bit because I know the minute I get a social media manager, I'm going to lose that connection with my supporters, because I'm not going to be on social media. I mean, if I'm paying a social media manager, what's the point of me being on there? So right. I know myself, I would prefer, because this, I actually had a social media manager before, and I specifically told them, don't interact with the supporters, because I don't want you saying anything and having them think it's me.
Right.
You know, because I don't want you thinking, oh, I think this is how she's going to respond. Oh, this, no, like, just don't. So then now I fall into that category of the ones that, which is how I, oh, this is how I ended up interacting with all you guys. You guys would be like, oh my gosh, like, you know, most celebrities don't interact. Yeah, because the majority of them probably have a social media manager or they're not paying attention to their inbox. So right. I just never really wanted to completely lose the authenticity with my supporters, but I'm over it, and I'm over the social media. And it's just like, to, I feel like to use the social media platforms the way that it needs to be, I would have to hire somebody that, like, that's what they do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I thought about getting a social media, like, team who can take care of my socials, because, you know, my Instagram isn't that big, my Twitter isn't that big, but then I'm on Snapchat and TikTok, where I have not a massive audience, but it's a few thousand, and I reach to like 500,000 people in Sweden, and that is a lot. So I was thinking, you know, hiring a team, a PR team who knows what they're doing. But then I was thinking for myself, what if I have trust issues with them? You know, that they're doing something stupid with my pages. And I just don't, you know?
Right.
There's this fear.
And then you have to worry about, like, so, like, how your message came through. Okay, well, are you guys going to tell me about the certain messages, or are you going to use your judgment and be like, oh, I don't think she'd be interested in this interview.
Right.
Or I don't think she'd be interested in responding to this person. So it's like you have to worry about that, too. And it's kind of just like, ooh.
It's like the thing, flashback to all that, you know, if you hadn't been discovered, you know, because it went to someone else, it's the same thing, you know, because then what if someone has this great deal that you're extremely interested in, and then you're then like, man, maybe it's like a social media promotion thing with a brand you're a big fan of, and you didn't even know they reached out to you because they were instantly rejected.
Like exactly, that, because we don't think that's something she would be interested in, or or this person doesn't have that many followers, or such. Like, I can't tell you the many times I've had associates have supporters that try to, like, reach out to me and be like, we've tried to reach out to the representative, and I'm listening to the deal, and I'm just like, that's a great deal, or that's a great opportunity, and I'll be like, well, depending on how close I was to the person, you know, I would be like, hey, you know, this person has been trying to reach out to your team, and, you know, some of them actually ended up doing it, but it was like the team, if they had decided to stop and not be so, you know, determined to get in contact, it's like, I look at that, I'm like, how many of us have lost out on opportunities like that?
I think there should be something, a mixture between, you know, the total control over a person's social media and, you know, the star, if I use the term loosely, being having control over the accounts as well. Like, there should be some kind of mixture, something in between of those, because because there are pros and cons to both of the things, you know. It's great because then you're not as stressed, you know, with the social media as updating it if you have a team who can do it. But at the same time, you could lose out on a bunch of opportunities if they instantly reject people they think you wouldn't like. So there should be something where you can meet in the middle, or where everyone can meet in the middle with that. I feel like if my teachers from high school, when they taught me, you know, editing audio for podcasts and things, if they saw me edit in Logic and not in like Audacity or something, I feel like they'd lose it. But I just don't care. Have you ever used Audacity as a program? Don't.
When I was in school, yeah.
It sucks. It always crashes.
All of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even supposed to be editing my show, so I'm
right.
Already, like, irritated. So I'm just like, I'm going to edit it, whatever. But at this rate, I think I'm going to just say, screw all that anyway. Like I said, and just like, I wanted to do video. It would have been nice.
Yeah.
But you know what? When the next season or something, because it was really you guys. Like, it was you and somebody else that was like constantly asking me about. Even showdown, like, I was like, oh my god. And then somebody else that was like, been asking me about my music, and I'm just like, I just wasn't motivated. I kept on trying to do it, and then, you know, I had a team with me, and then certain people get big heads, and then they want to think the show is theirs, and then it's like, it was just too much weird stuff. And then the network wasn't paying us, and it was just like, it was too much stuff. And I was like, I don't want to do it. But then I was like, you know what, now that, which like you said, social media, I was like, let me go ahead and try, because now I can be in control of my show, my interviews, and how I record, because that was a huge problem when I was over at CBS, because I had a lot of people that wanted to do interviews. The funny thing was, me getting interviews was not the problem. The problem was getting them in, because a lot of them wanted to either drop an interview right then, or they wanted to do it like the next day. And we could only film on one day. So if you had an exclusive, you were screwed. Or I had to come out of pocket and go to a studio and pay. But now I'm paying for a camera, a mic, and, you know, it was just too much.
I'd be like, F it, you know, just... If we said this time, you know, if someone gets hurt, literally last week, I was supposed to interview a journalist for NBC, who is in California, and we had to reschedule like a day before because, and this is because of this never happens because this was like a valid reason, because her son, I don't know how, but he's okay, she said on an email, broke his collarbone. I don't know how.
Oh my. God.
I know. So I was like, yeah, of course we can reschedule, you know, because that is wild, you know.
Yeah, that's, and today I was just like, oh my god, I am not nauseous. I was like, no. I was like, I'm not nauseous. I was like, okay, wait, is this normally we ask these questions, but for some reason it just slipped our mind, and I was like, oh my god, is it video or is it audio? I don't know. I was like, find out. And then you ended up DMing me, and I was like, shit. Okay, so I was like, I'm really nauseous right now, but I want to still do the show.
Yeah. You're such a queen. enduring this. But yeah, I never do audio. I did do a live show 2 years ago that was audio. That was the only thing that I did. I would love to do video podcasts. I would love to do it, but syncing everything and just, you know, I have the equipment for it, but then again, I'm a smaller team. You know, I only have like a social media manager and I have a publicist. That's what I have. I have to do everything else myself. And I can't pay someone to edit it.
You almost end up finding people who are more open to do the interview because they don't have to worry about what their room looks like or wherever to film. They don't have to worry. Well, if they're a female, because guys are a little bit different. Like, you know, just get up and go. But you don't have to worry about that. Like how I was, it's like, oh my God, okay, I got to try to make my, I had to freshen up my face. But then I've noticed too, depending on the people I get, they want that visual because they want to wear their sponsor's clothing. They want to wear their, the makeup art, like, to catch 20. Me personally, I'm good with audio.
Yeah, me too. I just, I don't really, I kind of cringe when people are saying like, I watched this podcast. I'm like, oh my God. Basic. No, I'm just kidding. If you watch a video podcast, like, kudos to you. Yeah. But I mostly listen to stuff, you know, because I don't have time to, you know, sit down and watch something. I could maybe do it if I grab lunch or something, but mostly I'm on the run if I listen to a podcast.
Right. The only two podcasts that I can really watch is Million Dollar Worth of Game and Drink Champs. Because, I mean, Drink Champs is just funny. It's like, they start drinking and smoking. And you can tell who isn't a drinker, who isn't a smoker, because they start getting diarrhea of the mouth.
Oh, my. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, this, we were talking about this a while ago on Instagram, and we were talking about fan base names. Remember when we talked about it, how you call your followers your supporters? And, you know, we were talking about, you know, Beyonce has her Beehive and Ariana has her Arianators. Then I was like, what the hell are we called? We need a name, you know?
Right.
Have you come up with any names yet, or are we still supporters?
You know, I do say supporters. I think we had came up with, but it didn't seem like it, it caught on with everybody. So I was like, okay, I'll just, like, revisit this at another time. I was like, maybe when I get my social media on point, because it's just like, I have supporters on there, but I think it's like a certain kind of supporters. Like, they're not consistent. Like, okay, so you know how like Nicki Minaj and them, like, they have their, like, that's her bars.
Yeah.
They're all like the same category. Like you said, Beyonce, you know, she has her Beehive. They're all consistent. You have Rihanna, the Navy. My fan base is so all over the place. It's like, you know, you have grown people, you have younger people, you have, like I said, and you're kind of like, what? Don't call us no barbs. You know, like anything like that. You know, so I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out.
If there are any listeners here who have an idea and you're like, I have an idea for a fan base name, like, hey, you write it to Angelique on social media, like, this is what we want to be called, and then you could take it to consideration for the future.
Yes, hashtag, because I'm good at hashtagging.
I'm really bad at that.
I will tell you that I will hashtag something, okay?
Yeah. We were talking a bit before about, you know, if you could see yourself in the future, you know, promoting yourself on social media, like, that would be your brand. But going a little bit more further into that question, did it ever cross your mind, you know, back in like 2009, you're on your Twitter on a BlackBerry or an iPhone that is really thick or something, or your computer, just writing tweets? Would you ever, like, imagine what, you know, social media would be in the future, if that is still what you would do 10 years down the road, or if, you know, things would change online?
I didn't even think this stuff would still be around. I thought we would be done with it. I'd be like, oh, I'll be so glad when this is over. And that's definitely not happening.
No. There's so much drama or something. I was tweeting something extremely, like, dumb. But I thought it was poetic in a way, in a trashy way. I was like, one glass of wine a day keeps the hangover away. You know, it rhymes.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's like the saying, but with wine.
Right.
Someone got so offended. They were like, well, I'm unfollowing. I was like, okay. Bye.
Yeah.
Like, but like, unnecessary so drama like that. It was a joke. I mean, come on. It's Twitter.
Yeah. Social media is really weird. And then that's what gets me, like, social media really has a lot of people, like, feeling like their opinion really matters. You know, it's like, yes, our opinions are important to ourselves.
Right.
You do not have to express every single thing that comes to your mind, especially if it's negative. You do not have to announce to me that you're unfollowing me.
Right.
You don't have, like, unfollow.
Right. I mean, there is this group on Facebook that I'm in. It's called, like, "This Isn't an Airport, No Need to Announce Your Departure," where people, you know, screen grab people who are in, like, on extremely, like, big, high-profile celebrities and commenting on their Facebook pages, their Instagrams, their Twitters, and they're like, "Well, I am offended that you tweeted this, so I'm unfollowing." And it's like, who are you?
Right.
Like,
okay.
They have their these people, like, no one's a nobody. But
exactly.
The celebrity will not know who you are, and they probably won't even see this your tweets. So, like, who are you? Like, why did you take the time? So I feel like that's...
Especially if I know that I'm not, like, I'm not posting eggplant pictures or some kind of, like, crazy thing. Okay, like I said, you got to know your brand. So clearly, you know, I have a very religious... and kid-based and nostalgia fan base.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and just, like I said, bring balls to the wall.
Yeah.
And just be, like, cussing and having middle fingers posted all over my thing and blank, 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 blank. But
yeah.
Like I did say, you might see it every here and there, you know?
Right.
But I'm not doing it every post because I have to keep in mind what my brand is. But if you don't have a brand like that, and it's just like people be getting on, like, non-celebrity pages, I remember like, you should. I'm like, yo, like, breathe, live. Like, how are you going to come on somebody else's page, personal page, if that?
Mm.
And tell them what they should post or shouldn't post. Maybe they shouldn't post it, but guess what? It's their page, you know? Like,
yeah.
And then they tell you what you should wear. Oh, that's not, oh my gosh. It's like on TikTok when they do the ethnic post where they're just like, oh, I'm mixed with this or I'm not this. And there will be a whole argument under this person's video telling them what they're mixed with, what they're not. And I'm just like, yo, like, are y'all ew?
Right. Definitely.
That's crazy.
And I feel like now during a pandemic, you know, people have too much time on their hands, which leads
too
to more
much.
Of this.
Oh,
way
my gosh.
Too much. I feel like social media...
It's worse now.
Yeah, definitely. Social media has gotten a lot worse. With, like, I cringe at a bunch of the trends, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why? Why? It keeps me demotivated to do things. Like, unmotivated is the word. Unmotivated to go on with my day. Because that's why I'm not on TikTok, to be honest. Like, I check my friends' videos, like, a few times a month, like, commenting, supporting, you know, being a supporter. But I haven't uploaded anything in a while because I just cringe at everything. And then I see all these celebrities being like, oh, follow me on TikTok. I did this really cool thing on TikTok. Or like, follow me on, what is it called? Rarible or something. Like, I sell NFTs.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh my God. Like, why? Like, why? Why should I?
That's,
you know,
crazy.
I have my own
life.
And it's just, they're, you know, deceased celebrities and their estates, you know, taking control of their brands and stuff. I got to know that, you know, Marilyn Monroe's brand, they started selling NFTs in Marilyn Monroe's brand, which I feel like that's not really what, I don't think that's what she would have wanted, you know, because I feel like a lot of these brands or a lot of these, you know, brands representing, you know, deceased celebrities, I feel like their estates are most, and it's, of course, it's a business, you know, they need to make money, but at the same time, I feel like people could be more considerate about what the celebrity, in fact, would have wanted, or their family, or their teams, like, what they would have wanted to put out there on the internet, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely a money thing. That's why you definitely got to be careful and make sure all your paperwork is in line about who's running your legacy when you're no longer here. Even while you're here, because anything can happen. I mean, look at Britney Spears' situation.
Yeah.
That was, like, wild. You know, you gotta really be careful of that. The NFT things, I haven't, like, I'm learning about it. Like, some of it seems like it's cool.
Yeah,
but that's another thing that I'm not passionate about, but
right.
I probably should be.
I mean, I feel like it's good to know about it, you know, to gain the knowledge right. about it, like how it works. But then these stupid trends, like selling an artwork that is like a 5-second video, and then you get a receipt that you own it, and then it can be taken right. down whenever. I feel like that's kind of dumb. And I get it. It's like in the 1950s, you know, with the modern art, and, you know, people didn't understand it, but they still bought it. I feel like it's the same thing today, but in a more hyped up manner, and it's online, and it's like even more ridiculous. So I feel like
right.
things will, there will be another thing in the future in like a few decades that will be even more ridiculous than this.
Right.
I feel exactly. like, we can't go back. It's nope. only forward from here. Things are getting more ridiculous.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we were talking a little bit about The Evening Showdown, your podcast. Mm-hmm. You were announcing a little while back that you're reviving it for more episodes and things like that. Mm-hmm. And you've already teased a little bit about your plans for it already in this episode, but could you tell my listeners a little bit about what kind of plans, future plans you have for your podcast?
Well, it's going to be launching next month. I will probably have more specifics on the actual podcast site, mm-hmm. which is The Evening Showdown on Instagram mm-hmm. and YouTube. Mm. It's actually this season, it's this The Evening Showdown Reloaded, because it's pretty much revamped. You know, before I was pretty much we were an entertainment podcast, you know, it was pretty much we talked about gossip, we had skits, you know, we had interviews, you know, we played music videos, whatever. There were aspects of the show that ideally I probably would have ventured from, but I kind of just like went with it. I try not to promote negativity. I try not to promote ratchetness or, you know, any whatever, like, you know, anybody who wants to do it, there's, you know, nothing against them, but that's just not my brand. So with the relaunch, it's just me this time, because I've always had others. I'm still going to bring in people, but it's always been, you know, me trying to give others opportunities, and then, you know, it's different personalities, and then, you know, you know, some want to do their own thing, or they want to do this, and then, you know,
yeah.
it's collision of thoughts. Mm-hmm. So this season is more what I want to do is inspirational. Either you rock with it or you don't.
Mm.
But, you know, everyone that has come on this season has some kind of inspirational story. Like, I have an artist from Watts, and he's a rapper, but it's still, his story was still inspirational, you know. I have people from all over. I have, you know, Nickelodeon legends and people who may nobody knows, but guess what, they have an inspirational story in their world and what they do. There's people who know who they are, we may not know, and I like to shine the light on those people because not everybody gets a chance, because, you know, there's certain top radio shows, and I almost said the name, but top, and nothing against them, but it's all the business. They're not about to have you come on the show unless your publicist knows somebody who knows somebody or you have a certain amount of followers, so they may never get that opportunity. They may not have the money to pay a publicist to do what that people don't know, realize how easy it is to promote themselves. They think that they have to have a certain amount of money to do this and do that. So I just, like, I shine the mic. Like, I might see somebody gone viral for dancing, you know, but they had a story behind that, how they even got there. I might put them on the show because it's a story behind it. Those are the kind of people that get overlooked.
Yeah.
But just like my show inspired you, which I had no idea, you know, I mean, obviously nothing wrong with that, but I just had no idea. Because you don't, people don't realize that they're constantly being watched.
Right.
As where I was just doing a show because so many people was like, yeah, you do the show. And I just finally was like, okay, all right, I'll do it. And I didn't know I was already touching people. So just imagine I'm putting inspirational people out there. Like, I don't know what message somebody needs to hear today. But if I put this person out here that has, you know, trials and tribulations, or they're doing this, maybe they're giving motivation to somebody out there. You know, you never know. And if I keep it positive and I keep it inspirational, you know, it gives, and it also gives other people hope, like, oh my gosh, I can be on her show. It doesn't matter how many followers I have. It doesn't matter if I don't have a blue check. Like, you know, I can still be seen, because some people just want to be seen. They want to be heard. They go crazy over the fact, oh my God, she played my song. You know, because that's the closest to them getting their song played. I can't even tell you how many people I've had on my show that are now big. Now, I'm not saying my show had anything to do with making them big, but my show was one of the very first ones that was giving them opportunities to be on the show before they were blue checked. Before everybody is now posting them on their Instagram pages, before every post they do is viral, you know, like,
that's happened to me too on here too, and it's it's happened here too on Artists Alive as well, and it's the coolest feeling ever, you know, to be the first, one of the first people to interview them, like, and then you watch them grow.
I love that. I love that I wasn't on that bandwagon. You know, now sometimes you may reach back out to certain people, and, you know, once they've hit a certain thing, they're probably not operating their page anymore because they have, you know, social media managers or whatever. But there's somebody who they just got a reality show, like, they're big now. But I remember it, like, it was so taboo to have this person on your show, and I had them on the show. And it's just, it's like you said, it's a great thing to see. So I have. Definitely. And it's funny, it's a couple people I've forgotten that I've interviewed. Like, I think I was looking through one of my files because I was looking for something, and I was like, oh my God, I interviewed that person. Oh wow, that's wow, that's deep, because I've just interviewed so many people. It's just like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. And I've interviewed legends, and like I said, I've gone from legends to people you may not have even heard. It might be someone who they want to make it, but because they had a story.
Right. You're bringing it on there.
The opportunity.
Music, because you've done things in music. You've released a few singles. It was a little while ago, though. And you've also had a cameo appearance in a posthumous Michael Jackson music video for Love Never Felt So Good, which is so cool. But are you now, you haven't done too many things in the on the music scene since then, but would you consider coming back to the music scene? And if so, what would you do? Would you do, would you put out an EP? Would you would you direct stuff? Would you do songwriting? Like, if you ever were to come back to do music, like, what kind of projects would you like to do?
Well, it's funny, because that's a whole nother thing that I have people like, come on, we're going to release new music. Like, they want to hear it. But, like I've said so many times in this interview, if I'm not motivated, I just don't make myself do it. And honestly, I haven't been motivated in years. Like, I have to hear a beat that just, like, makes me go, oh, I want to jump on that, and I want to drop it. So it's really been a production issue. Like, I just haven't had any producers that have, you know, sent me anything that just made me be like, oh, that beat is just awesome. Nothing, you know, not knocking anybody, but it doesn't speak to me.
Right.
So if it doesn't speak to me, I'm not going to genuinely express my thoughts, and you know, it's not going to be my best work, and I'm just at that stage, and if it's not my best work, I'm not putting it out.
Right.
I've kind of slowly but surely, within the last couple of months, a couple of people have kind of triggered certain creativity. Like, I might hear some beats, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I had jumped on one of my guests they had a challenge, and it was just a fun challenge to my sister, as usual. She's like, you need to, there's a challenge, da, 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 and she sent it to me, and I was like, oh, this is actually cool, and I got on it just for the fun of it, and it was actually fun to do. I hadn't recorded myself on anything serious probably in several years. I had just did a parody, Lemonade parody for Go Flickr, and that was 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago now. These years have been going by so fast.
Right.
And the pandemic didn't help.
No.
I would say it was 2 years ago, and I ended up actually getting a YouTube plaque for that, because it was like over 200,000 views.
Wow.
A parody, so that's why when I say serious, it was a serious project. It was for the children, and so, you know, that was fun. Like I said, it was about candy. It was the irony that it was about candy, which I thought was kind of cool, because, you know, Randy and Mandy. But yeah, I got 200,000 views. But the challenge I had got on, which was like, I wasn't in it for the challenge. I just did it for the fun of it. That was the closest to like recording something really like serious, though. And I think it's been over a decade, probably. So I've come to the conclusion that when I do drop the music, I'm not even going to announce it. Like, I'm just going to drop it. Like, here's my single. Y'all rock with it, you rock with it. I noticed that when I'm like, unless it's something like the podcast or something like that, and I've noticed just when people do this in general, when they premature post things or they premature speak on things, it normally never really happens.
Definitely.
You know, I'm just going to do it, because, you know, there was a period where I was like, I'm working on my album. I'm going to release my album this year. And that was like over a decade ago.
About pre-announcing things, and then it just never happens. There was a quote oh my god. I had this studio for myself, or like the studio complex building for myself, and now people came. That's fun. Anyways, there was a quote on Instagram you posted. It was like, I don't even remember what it said, but this was a while ago, but it said like, less talking, more doing, you know?
Yeah.
And that really got me thinking, like, that makes sense. You don't have to prove yourself to anyone. You know, people will see what it is that you do. You don't have to talk about it. You can talk about it. Like, like I did today, like on Instagram today, I was like, I'm preparing my podcast with Angelique. It's coming in March. Yay. To show, behind the scenes content, like that. But it's not like I'm gonna say like, I'm planning these things with these brands, and it's like, no, it's just people will see it anyways. Like, no need to, you know, just
right now. See, that works, because technically that's not premature, because I'm already here, you know. So like, it's like, let's say if you would have, I consider premature, like if you would have posted last week and be like, I'm gonna be doing an interview with her, that's premature, because anything can happen. Like, anything did happen today. And then you have people that, just because they're on your page, though, it doesn't mean all of them support me. Like, I have, I forgot how many followers I have, but guess what? That whole count that's on there is more stalkers or lurkers or whatever than supporters. All of them aren't supporting. So if I'm saying that, I've got an interview with LL Cool J or something, trust me, the majority is not going to be like, oh my god, that is so great, we are so happy for you. First thing is like, how did she, are you serious? And one thing that I've learned as I get older is that negative energy is very real, and your mind is very powerful, and just those negative thoughts can really can interfere. So if you have enough negative people thinking negative about you and preying on your downfall, you know, it can, you know, unless you're completely, you know, not trying to get religious, but unless your faith or whatever is strong enough where nothing can, you know, the weapons, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, because he never said the weapons wouldn't form. But if, you know, unless you have that kind of strength and that kind of faith, there's a lot of people who they get affected by negative thoughts, because negative energy, like that negative energy is real. And then they wonder why everything is going wrong. It's because, yeah, you've got people out there that's really trying to, you know, send negative energy. And I learned that. Mm-hmm. I had to, that was a very huge, rough, nasty tasting pill I had to swallow, that everybody don't love you. And they could be real close. You could have grew up with them. They don't love you. They just keeping you close to see what you're doing so they can hate on it. Or either keep you close and or so they can be like, oh, well, you know, I believe in you. And so you can take them along and they can still hate on you.
Exactly.
So, you know, I learned that, like, I would be so happy, like, oh, I'm getting ready to launch my show. But, you know, everyone else always sees potential in your projects other than you. Like I said, when I did the Evening Showdown originally, it was just me doing a podcast with my buddy Troy. And we had fun because we were getting to, you know, to speak with different people. And I brought him on board because his mouthpiece is awesome. His mind is great. Like, he can hold conversations about any and everything, political, spiritual, astronomy, money. You want to know about stocks, you want to know about sneakers, like, he's the guy. So I was like, oh, that would be so awesome. But one thing he did say, like, a couple weeks ago, he was like, yo, we were ahead of our time. When we first came out with the Evening Showdown, podcasts wasn't popping like that.
That's true.
You know, and then because the platforms were also different too. So we were way ahead of our time. Like, we talked to so many, like Keith Murray, the list is long. When I went back, I was like, oh my God, I really did talk to all these people. But everybody else saw the potential. Mm-hmm. You know, even certain stations, channels that we were on, it was like, oh, you know what? This is a really good show. You know, let's start doing sponsorships on it, but we're not going to give them the money. You know, so it was running into situations like that. And because we didn't really know, like, we knew enough that, like, okay, we're not getting paid out the pocket, but there's commercials on these episodes now. So somebody's getting paid and it's not us. So, you know, we were running into all kinds of things, but it was so much negativity and then too much premature talking. And then I can't tell you how many guests fell through. Like, yes, I had awesome guests that didn't make it, but man, the guests that fell through, big and small. And premature talk. Oh, so-and-so is going to be on the show. And then they weren't on the show. Yeah, so, you know, I just learned to move in silence.
Yeah.
And keep it pushing. Because once it's recorded, you can't say nothing. I've already failed. It's here.
A few last questions, and then I'm going to let you go on with your day. If you're talking about goals and accomplishments, like New Year's resolutions one can have for their personal life, but do you have any, like, goals or dreams that you want accomplished for this year? Like, 2022, I want to have this accomplished.
Without premature saying. Yeah, just to be more in line with whatever my mission and purpose is, and spreading more joy and light to the world, and influencing as many more people as I can in a positive way. That would probably be my goal. You know, everyone goes, and, you know, to be financially, have stability, and, you know, your riches and abundance come in so many different things. You know, it can be your family, your surroundings, just happiness in general. Just to be, you know, genuinely, continue to be genuinely happy, whatever that looks like to people. It's not always materialistic things. I think that's what the reason why a lot of people find themselves caught up in things that they shouldn't be, is because they're so focused. They pick materials over love. And love isn't always being in a relationship with somebody else. It's just they pick materials over love.
And that's really sad. I mean, you know, the saying, like, money can't buy you happiness. Well, it can. But can it buy you everlasting happiness? That is what we should ask. That, now I got extremely deep there. But yeah, like, it's really easy to, you know, buy something, you know, and then you feel better. Like, I think we are guilty of doing that. But then again, that won't really make me happy for the rest of my life, you know. So my...
At all.
Yeah, so what I have for this year, and I had this, you know, goal for all for the past, like, since 2018, 19 something, that I want to get to know more people who I can network with, who have, you know, who do artistic things, like they do music or podcasts or acting or something like that, something artistic, and, you know, networking. And, you know, if then I've, you know, found my kind, you know, and then we can, you know, support each other and better each other. So yeah, I've been having the same kind of goals.
And I guess you just triggered something. Mm-hmm. Finding more like-minded people that's on the same vibration, mm-hmm. higher vibrating, you know, tribe. Yeah. Because, you know, you have to keep the same energies, or especially if you want to continue to grow, elevating. Not the same mm-hmm. energy, but people that are still elevating and growing. If you have people that are vibrating lower than you, or they're just content being where they're at, you're never going to grow. You're going to only hold yourself back.
Yeah. And then one's career isn't everything too, you know. I feel like one's personal life, one's mental health should go first.
Oh my gosh, yes. Please say that again for the people in the back. You know, and I try to tell people, like, I don't care how pretty you think you are. I don't care how bad you think you are. If your mental health is trash, then it is what it is. Like,
right.
No, that's like, I have stories, just like things I have seen, people I have interacted with. I mean, just people that have issues with me just in mm-hmm. general, because I'm living my life the way that I am. Like, I'm stressless. And because I choose the high road or whatever, and but it's like, you're jealous because of how people love me. You're jealous of how people listen. I'm like, that's crazy to me. Like, mm-hmm. maybe never have met you a day in my life, or maybe I did, and your energy was probably off. So, but you're mad at me. But like I said, we all have the same 24 hours, mm-hmm. you know? I definitely went through a lot of healing and growth and everything, you know? Yeah, you guys may have, you know, some of you guys may have loved me, you know, since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But was I a lovable person at times? Probably not. I think all of us have probably had some non-lovable moments, mm-hmm. but some of us got help and grew out of it, and some mm-hmm. of us didn't.
Right.
Know? Once again, mm-hmm. we all have the same 24 hours.
Exactly. That is the title for this episode. We all have the same 24 hours. Okay, so we're wrapping this episode up.
Well, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. To all my beautiful listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you're on great that I'm a podcaster and I just can't talk. That's great. But if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you enjoyed this episode, please give it, rate and review it. I'd be extremely happy. And, you know, if it's possible, click on the subscribe or follow button, and you'll be notified when a new episode is in your feed. Yes, and I got our social media in the description of the episode, and, you know, all that jazz.
Awesome.
And to all my listeners, I'll keep you updated on the Evening Showdown. Yay! But thank you so much. This meant a lot to me.
Yeah. Problem.
Okay.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad I was able to be on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye.